All right, today I don't know if it's a message or if it's just some things I've been thinking about, but I want to talk about the critical Christian today, the critical Christian. And this all comes about as a result of Facebook and social media. You know, obviously we're in the midst of an election and you know, and there's posts every day about certain candidates, you know, and things like that. And so, you know, and I'm not here to endorse any candidate. I actually don't even know exactly who I'm going to vote for yet. I mean, you know, there's good points and bad points about some of the candidates. But, you know, that's not what I'm going to talk about. But I do encourage everyone to get out and vote. I believe that we should, you know, be involved and get out and vote. But I'm going to talk about being critical, because a lot of things that I have read this week have actually got me a little bit upset, because they're pretty critical, you know, about, you know, I understand being critical about somebody's track record, but being, you know, being critical about people's personal life is just really, I think, draws the line. And, you know, and I guess it comes down to a lot of things that a lot of reason I am like I am is from my own grandfather. And one of the statements that he made that's probably shaped my life and changed my life more than any other statement, and this was back in the late 80s, when there was a number of ministries that were having some tough times, some things, you know, that weren't too good in the news or whatever. It just so happened that we were doing a crusade, or my grandfather, I wasn't there, was in New York City of all places. And my grandfather's not one that really gives TV interviews, he's not really talkative when it came down to him. To talking with, you know, we had a few interviews he actually did with some reporters in Tulsa, but it took a lot for him to even sit down and talk to a reporter. And we had a reporter that showed up. In fact, my grandfather was, you know, talked about it before, because this guy was filming the healing line, you know, all kind. You know, he had there with a camera, or whatever. So after the service, he tried to catch my grandfather as he's leaving, and he said, "Do you want to make a comment about some of the so-called scandal about some other ministers?" And my grandfather looked at him and was intended to say, "No, I don't have a comment," or waiting for somebody else. But instead, he actually made a comment, which is really not normal for him. He actually said these words, and later on he's talked about what he said in his messages. He said, "Putting another man's candle out will never make yours any brighter. Putting somebody down doesn't lift you up." You know, and I remember those words, and you know, and in times when sometimes I've said something that maybe could be putting someone else's candle out, all of a sudden on the inside it bothers me, because I'm thinking that's a little critical, that could be critical, or even if something that could be taken, maybe I didn't mean it to be critical, but maybe it could be taken as being critical. But you know, on social media, it's not just about you know, political candidates, but it's also, I've seen people just knocking certain other ministers or, you know, especially whenever somebody maybe did something that they shouldn't do. And I understand that, you know, maybe you don't like everything that they do, you know, or maybe, you know, but the deal is that you don't have to be critical about everything. My grandfather said this, you know, a lot of times when people make statements, you know, I don't disagree with that statement they're making, you know, but it's not up to me to tear somebody down. It's up to me to lift somebody up. And just because what you're saying might be right doesn't mean you should say it. Now, of course, you know, the old ads when we were kids, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And it would help some of you not to talk at all, because, but it just seems a lot of times that a lot of Christians are very critical concerning whatever it might be concerning. You know, and it seems that Christians also really have issues accepting somebody or being friends with somebody that they don't agree with on every area. And I know my grandfather has said many times, or did say many times, that some of his best friends, you know, in ministry, they didn't agree on some of the theological points, but said we would always agree to disagree. And in fact, he had a lot of spiritual discussions with a lot of these people that didn't actually believe like he did. Especially some of his friends, you know, at that time, they didn't believe healing the way he believed healing. Some of them didn't believe about the Holy Spirit the way he believed, but it didn't mean he wasn't friends with them. Doesn't mean, you know, he deleted them from their Facebook site, which he didn't have a Facebook site. I'm just kind of, you know, putting things in today's thought life. You know, but a lot of times we're just too critical to people. But I think it's really kind of dangerous too right now, because it's interesting. This one individual, he's posting a lot, and I wish I wouldn't have ever commented on one of his sites, because once I commented, now every time he posts anything, I get it on my news feed, and then it makes a lot of things make me mad. So I want to comment again, but I decided to quit commenting. The only reason I commented, because he's been bugging me on my inbox, wanted to know who I was going to vote for, wanted to know stuff, but I still didn't tell him anything because I'm still undecided. But actually, what's interesting is the guy that he's trying to promote, I'm almost getting mad at him, but it's not even his fault. He's not doing anything wrong. I'm just tired of this guy promoting him so much that, you know, because the way he's promoting is putting the other candidate down. And I don't believe that that's really the way to do it. In fact, he even posted on his site, he posted from a story that was done from some kind of news source. And I go to the story to look at this, because the guy says some derogatory, supposed to be a Christian, but said some derogatory things really that were taken, you know, I couldn't believe he said. And if you look on the news site, which I don't think they should be allowed to exist on the internet, but I guess we have freedom of speech. It says, it was satire, where we almost tell the truth. And then there's a place you can click, and it says what satire is, and these are fictional stories basically we made up. All right. And he posted this as fact on his Facebook site, and then all, you know, and people were like, I can't believe he said all these things. And I'm like, well, you know, one guy also, he didn't say them. I mean, you know, so basically, you know, they're slandering some guy that didn't even say those things. And so, you know, I'm like, well, you know, you need to watch what you post, just because on the internet. And I know a lot of times the guy's not saying anything. It's just some of the things he's sharing is you know, a little bit, you know, not really that nice. But one thing that really got to me, and it is because I was listening to some of the things, and I was kind of agreeing with some of the points on this candidate, because some statements that a person has made 15 years ago or 16 years ago, and some of the ways I supported, you know, I didn't really agree with. But then all of a sudden on the inside, you know, I heard this: what if you treated the church the same way? So what if somebody who was in the church 15 years ago said one thing, and then later on they said they changed their mind, so I don't believe that I can change? I mean, you know, so sometimes, you know, we treat, well, this person said this, so this is the way they are. You know, well, you might have said something 15 years ago, and maybe you don't believe it today. Well, yeah, but I you know, I've changed, so they can't change. See, you know, I understand it's hard for us to accept people can change their views, can change, but, you know, but God can change us. Now, this particular candidate, I don't know him. I happen to know some ministers who have prayed with him. And I asked one of my minister friends, I said, okay, what do you think about this? He goes, I'm not sure whether I'm going to vote for him or not, but I'm going to tell you this. The guy loves God, but he's a baby Christian. He's really another minister friend who actually, you know, has been mentoring him, and actually has, you know, he might have been saved, but has talked to him more about Christ or whatever. And he said, this guy's a baby Christian. He doesn't really know the word, you know. And you know, he's just a baby Christian, like a lot of baby Christians. And, you know, I don't hold a baby Christian in the same, you know, same esteem as I hold someone that's been you know, been a Christian for a long time. But then sometimes people have been a Christian for a long time, you kind of wonder why they say some of the things too they say. But do you know, when we vote for president, we're not voting for a pastor. And in fact, if I was going to vote for the best, most spiritual person, my guy probably wouldn't win, because he's not maybe one of the top, you know, top two or whatever. But I'm not voting for who's the most spiritual. I'm voting for who I believe that can run the country the best. And, you know, I would like someone who, that you know, is a Christian of somewhat, but, you know, I think that the thing about it is that we as Christians should be praying for our president and for our leaders and for our congressmen, you know, and I think it's really sad that because some people, you know, don't really like who we have president now, and you know, so they're like, well, because I don't like him, I'm not going to pray for him. I mean, it's probably your fault that a lot of things are happening. You know, the Bible talks about to pray for our rulers. And that's, you know, one thing too, you know, when it comes to individuals who maybe have done things and fallen away or done some things that are not right, instead of talking about them, why don't you pray for them? And, you know, because nobody really wants to be talked about anyway. And it's interesting because we really want mercy and grace and forgiveness if it was us doing it. But when somebody else does it, we don't want to always give them that. Of course, everyone knows, you know, one of the scriptures here in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read it from the NLT version. And it says this. It says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past a log in your own eye? Hypocrite," and that's hypocrite, and that's exclamation point. I mean, so Jesus, this is red letter, so Jesus was really kind of mad about it. He said, "Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." In other words, you know, Jesus said, you know what? Take care of your own issues. Take care of your own issues. You have your own problems. And, you know, and I understand when it comes to a presidential election, I mean, you know, we have to make some, it's a contest, basically. We have to make some judgments and we have to, you know, vote our own conscience. I understand that, but we don't also have to knock the other guy down all the time, you know, and, you know, I just don't like when I believe that if I was going to run for an office, me as the candidate, I would talk about how I'm going to change things, not how the other guy's an idiot. All right. You know, or how the other guy he's done this or done that. I mean, I understand, you know, maybe you might point out some things he voted for or whatever, but it shouldn't be about tearing somebody else down. It should be, you know, and what's ultimately going to happen though, in this one situation, when it comes to a primary election, what if your guy doesn't win the primary? So now what are you going to do? Because you've sat there and tore the other guy down. So are you going to vote for him for president? Are you just not going to vote because you're mad? Or I don't know what you're going to do. Because I keep thinking, I don't know what this guy's going to do. Because if his guy doesn't win, then he's going to be really mad. Because the more than likely, the other guy who's been cutting down on his page every day is going to win the primary. And so I feel bad for him. And in some ways, I hope it happens. Because I just want to, I'm kind of mean that way because, you know, but really ultimately, as I read his page, it's making me mad because, you know, and it's not that I actually was really thinking about, you know, and I still might vote for the guy that he wants. But the interesting thing about it, I'm like, you know, some of the things he's been sharing, I'm like, are you really serious about sharing? I mean, this is not, doesn't even make sense. It's slanted. I mean, you know, a lot of times when it comes to political things, a lot of things are slanted in somebody's favor, and the way that it's not really, you know, it's not a really great news source or whatever. But you know, the thing about it is that's an election, that's whatever. But do you know, in our own life, a lot of times that we cut other people down. Sometimes in the auspices is we just, you know, we're just telling somebody. I'm just stating fact. I'm not gossiping about somebody. But a lot of times we are gossiping. The only reason we're stating facts is because we want somebody else to know that somebody did something wrong. You know, why do we have to point out everyone's faults? And, you know, what's interesting too is a lot of times that we all know that someone had some things, had some faults, and you know, we should just pray for the person. You know, I know really every time that there's been a quote-unquote scandal amongst ministers, I've always felt bad for that guy. you know, and you know, instead of tearing him up, you know, my heart always goes out to him because you know the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. You think he delights in something happening to somebody who's proclaiming the gospel, you know. But a lot of times too, we have to watch out because a lot of times we read the scripture, we're thinking, well, you know, God's going to judge us, you know, in the future for the way we judge people. No, but I believe that you're going to get judged now. Sometimes some of the things are happening to you because of the way you treated some other people. You know, they always say what goes around comes around, or, you know, some people call it karma or whatever. But I believe we need to think about how we treat people and think about what we say when we say it and think about our intentions. Why do we point that out? You know, and they'll say, well, I love everyone. I wouldn't say anything bad, but I was just telling, I wanted you to know that so-and-so did this because I saw the news. But just because something's on the news doesn't make it true either. Just because something on Facebook doesn't make, you know, and an interesting part about it is one of the things this person was saying, well, did you know that this person's in a lawsuit or whatever? I'm like, did you know that anyone can sue anybody just because they want to? You know, you always forget about the innocent until they're proven guilty thing or whatever. And then I thought about, because in the lawsuit was a business situation, then I thought about Apple. Anyone know about Apple, Apple products? Apple and, you know, Samsung, they're rivals, you know, but you know that a lot of Samsung products is in the Apple iPhone. You see in all the time that they're suing each other, you know, and then next thing you know that Apple inked a deal to get the Samsung screen on their iPhone. I'm like, so the companies sue each other, but they still do business with each other. Doesn't make no sense. And it's like, we're going to sue you over here, but we do like your stuff, so we're going to use your stuff. But then you're going to sue us, and all this. I don't understand. This is the way business goes sometimes. But just because someone's suing someone doesn't make either party right. You know, I just think that we need to be less critical toward everybody. And like I said, you know, I know people that are critical toward certain ministers. And then I think about this, and there's, you know, my point is, well, how many people have been led to Christ through that guy's ministry? Now, maybe I don't like all his techniques, but the point is, how many people are getting saved? Now, maybe some of these people aren't really growing spiritually like they should, because I think that there are some guys that are really good at getting people saved, but they're not really good about training them and helping them grow in the Word. And that's one reason they need to get into a good church that helps to do that, you know. But the thing about it is, they're getting people saved, you know. And so to criticize this person, really, doesn't the Bible says that we'll know us by our fruits? I mean, you know, if a lot of people are getting saved under your ministry, you got to be doing something right. Yeah, but they're doing a lot of things wrong. Well, you know, it's interesting how you always point out the wrong, because it, you know, you probably do some things wrong too. The great thing about it is, you know, the less that you are known, you know, then you can do more wrong and nobody knows about it. But the more popular you are, you know, the more it's a big story if somebody does something wrong. And, you know, that's why, man, I am glad that I'm not some Hollywood star. I mean, you realize that these people, there's people in Hollywood, you know, in California, whatever, they get up every morning and when they walk out the door, there's people taking their pictures. The paparazzi just following around, just waiting for them to mess up or to say something stupid or, you know, to wear something weird or whatever. I mean, they're just chasing around looking for a news story all day long. I mean, that would bug the tar out of me. I mean, I would get unfamous just because I'd be tired of these people hanging around all the time. You know, because that's just them. I can't even stand living like that. But also, too, we need to understand, and I do understand from, you know, that some of the things that I say also people might give more weight to that. And so I always think about that when I'm commenting. Also think about, you know, that I know for sure that I have Facebook friends that are both Democrat and Republican. And I know that, you know, a lot of those people support our ministry. So, you know, for me to bash one party over the other is probably not a good thing. You know, and although it's my personal page and I can do what I want to, I really kind of stay out of politics. You know, the most important, you know, even though that I might have opinions, I don't always express my opinion because other people have other opinions. And I found out that people, when people have different opinions, then they're mad at you because you don't have their same opinion. You know, and it's not my fault that your opinion's wrong. I'm just kidding. And sometimes both opinions are wrong. And here's the deal. I don't care if you say you're not a politician. All these people are politicians. It doesn't really matter. I mean, they're trying to say what they can to get votes. An election's a popularity contest. Who can make the most people happy? Now, the point is, can you still make them happy whenever you're in office? That's the big kicker. And what's even really more ironic when it comes to the president, do you realize the president doesn't control a lot? I mean, they have a lot of control, but they don't control a lot of things because supposedly they're not supposed to do things without Congress's, you know, voting for that, which sometimes, I guess, currently, sometimes some presidents have been making their own decisions and it doesn't matter what Congress says. But, you know, that's not really the way that the laws was intended, that, you know, we don't have a dictatorship in America. You know, we have a democracy. So a lot of times the president can't make people pass the laws. You know, he can help influence or whatever. And, you know, we need to be more prayerful about the election. I mean, not just who you're going to vote for, you know, but just how the people are going to vote and what's going to happen to our world. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. In essence, if your guy or gal doesn't win, the Lord not going to fall off the throne. You know, I know that there's been certain elections, and man, you would think it's the end of the world if you talk to some Christians. It's the end of the world. Everything's going to fall apart. Well, we've had good presidents and bad presidents, and you know, and whatever. We're still around, all right, and we're going to be around because and you know what? God's going to be with us in good times and bad times. You know, doesn't matter what's going on economically. The Bible didn't say that God will take care of you only whenever things are doing good economically. You know, he says he'll take care of you if you ask him. But like I said, we have to be less critical. I want to read this from the Amplified Version because it even says more. It says, do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. You know what? If you feel you've been going through a lot of judgment, been criticized a lot and being condemned, maybe we should watch what we say. You know, maybe we should examine, what have we been saying? What have we been, you know, everybody really wants to talk about sowing and reaping when it concerning money. But nobody wants to talk about sowing and reaping when it concerns things that they say. But, you know, it's interesting if you read my grandfather's, you know, books. I mean, one of the biggest things he talks about is the words that we speak. In fact, he has a mini book called Words. You know, and going off of Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, we can have whatever we say we can have. You know, so if your person didn't get elected and you say it's going to be crummy, then it's going to be crummy for you because you said it's going to be crummy. And that's why we have to watch what we say sometimes. Because a lot of times we say things that we don't want to happen, but we keep saying them over and over again. But, you know, and it's, you know, watch what we say. And a lot of times I know a lot of people don't mean to be critical, but sometimes they are. Sometimes, and I also found that as we get older, sometimes it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Because, you know, there's ways you can say things in love and ways you can say things that are not in love, and people take it different ways. And also I found out as we move into a new generation, where we say things over text messages or email or on the computer, you know, sometimes it doesn't get taken the same way because, you know, you can't really express emotion really good even if you have all these emojicons or whatever. I found that out one day whenever my wife said some stuff and I replied, fine. I meant, fine, that's great, you know. So I get this next text like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so mean? I'm like, I said, fine. I'm going to do it. So you don't want to do it? Well, no, I'm. It was fine. It was okay. I mean, I should have just said okay. I messed up to say the word fine, because when you say the word fine, you know, and we've all been there, you know, in our own house, you know, and usually it's the woman that says fine, you know, or whatever. But that fine wasn't like fine, you know. And it really, that one word got me in a lot of trouble. And even, I mean, it went on for hours. I mean, you know, I mean, not hours, like a, you know, texting quit, but then I was at work, and then I got home from work, and, you know, and then, well, why'd you say fine? Because I meant it was fine. No, you didn't. I know, because you would have just said okay. Well, I'm sorry, I put the wrong word down. You know, and I've done that too, like you know, even in emails and stuff that I've sent out to people, and I got an email back, and they were really upset with the email. I'm like, I read it. I'm like, I didn't think it was really that bad. I thought it was, you know, I was, there were some things that were happening that I was trying to take care of, but I wasn't trying to cut them down. You know, I was just, you know, making some statements, and they took it, you know, they took it personally, and that's the deal. I mean, things take, people take things too personal sometimes, you know, and it's interesting, because some people that are more artistic seem to take things more personally. One thing that I do at the ministry that you may or may not know is I have the final word on all the book covers, all the tape covers, and all the pictures that are in the Word of Faith. And, you know, I actually used to change more. I finally got down to it. Like, it's not even worth fighting, because sometimes I go there, and sometimes it's not me, because me and my mom, you know, we'll talk about it and talk about things. And I found out that you go down there, and whenever I don't like something, these artists take it personally sometimes. It's like, you don't like them. No, I like you. I just don't really like this art right here. Well, how come? Well, I just don't like it. I don't think it really... It's the best thing. Well, you have a better idea? Sometimes I'm like, no, I don't. That's why we hire artists, you know, because I'm not one, you know. But I mean, I don't know how many times that they've taken it. I'm like, if I didn't like you, we would fire you. I'd fire you and hire somebody else. I like you. And you do great work. I just don't like this. You know, sometimes it, you know, but they take it personal. And, you know, well, but my other side is, if you take it so personal, then why'd you give me three or four choices? First of all, just because I don't like it. Then they're mad because you don't like all three or four of my choices. I'm like, well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes I just don't like it. Or there's things, you know, like for instance, there's things that I think is acceptable for maybe one of my articles or whatever, but I believe one of my grandfather, it might not be acceptable, because, you know, really, people don't look at his stuff, you know, it's just different. People are different ages and things like that. So it's not, there's been times I think this is cool. If it was my book, I'd tell you to do it in a heartbeat, but I just don't think it's probably best, you know, on this particular book, because it doesn't really appeal to the age group that's probably going to be buying the book anyway. And so there's a lot of marketing, and that's one thing too. We don't realize how much marketing and stuff goes into a ministry. It's more than just getting up and speaking and things like that. But you know, as we criticize other people, and you know, obviously there are times, you know, people say, well, I can't judge anything. Well, what if they want me to judge a beauty contest? So I can't judge, you know. I mean, or what if I'm supposed to judge a pie eating contest, or you know, at the fair, or, you know, who has the best cheesecake or whatever. I mean, there's things that we can judge, but when Jesus is talking about, he's talking about being critical, you know, and just because something that you say is right doesn't mean that you should say it. You know, we shouldn't be so critical to, you know, about people, especially when, you know, you being critical is hurtful. Now, I don't think these presidential candidates are really care what your opinion is, so they don't. It's not really that big a deal. It's not gonna hurt their feelings. But the fact of the matter is that I believe if you're gonna be critical toward those people, you're probably critical toward other people, you know, in your own life. Because I believe, and there's a lot of people, Christians, that are very critical, And they don't think they are. They say, well, I'm just doing it out of love. And, well, you know, well, I saw an interview with the Westboro Baptist Church or whatever, and they do a lot of things that I don't believe that they should do. And they say that, well, the reason we do it is because we love you and we don't want you to go to hell. Oh, really? And so, you know, so just by, you know, being me, and so because I don't want people to go to hell, now they go and picket funerals of babies and all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of weird, you know, things, or you know, military folks and all. I mean, just because, well, they're anti-war or they're anti-this or anti, you know, I don't know what their issue is, but the thing about it is that because they call themselves a church, they make all Christians look bad. And that's what we have to understand, is that the more critical we are, or at least we seem to be, the more we make Christians look bad. And one thing that I don't like this guy sharing a lot of stuff, because he's a Rhema graduate, everyone knows he's a Christian, and I don't know how many people, maybe he only has 5 friends on his Facebook anyway, so maybe that's no big deal, maybe I'm getting, you know, but I don't want people to think, you know, bad about him, you know, because if you read, I mean, he just, I think the guy lives on Facebook. I mean, the other day he posted 5 things in 1 hour, you know, and all of them critical toward the candidate he doesn't like, that might win. And so, I mean, really, seriously, he's actually really made me upset. And I'm not even for one or the other. I mean, it's made me upset because he's so critical all the time. And it's not that he's not being critical. All he's doing is sharing stories. And so what you could say, well, I wasn't being critical. I just shared somebody else who was being critical. Well, if you share their stuff, that's just like you, because you must agree with it, because why would you share it? You know, anyway, but verse 2 here says, in the Amplified Version, for just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out to you. Why do you stare from without at a very small particle that is in your brother's eyes, but do not become aware and even consider the beam of timber that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me get the tiny particle out of your eye, when there is a beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eyes. And so, you know, what Jesus was saying here is that really you have more issues than this other guy. And I have found out the people with the most issues are the most critical. And in fact, my dad said this one day, because I was kind of upset about a certain individual that had some issues. I mean, I wasn't upset about him because, you know, I felt bad for him, you know, because, you know, there was a message that he preached that I thought was really, really good. And it was all dealing with something that he was falling into. And Dad said, you know, a lot of times we're preaching to ourselves. So I've always thought about that, because whenever I preach messages, I don't want people to think that, well, I'm actually doing these kind of things, you know, just some. And so, you know, I work in my own life about not being critical toward others. And a lot of it is because, you know what, I don't want to be judged. And I don't think anybody else wants to be judged. And it's no one wants to be criticized. Nobody wants to be treated, you know, badly, or be talked about or whatever. But, you know, so if you don't want that, then don't do it to anybody else. They're saying, well, yeah, but they don't know I'm talking about them. You know, they don't know. You know, it, what goes around comes around. Man, I work hard at not doing it, because sometimes we all get mad. Anyone get mad? I get mad. You know, and we all sometimes say things that we probably shouldn't say. You know, if I ever say things that I shouldn't say, especially criticizing somebody else, I always go to them and ask them to forgive me, even if they didn't hear what I said, because I shouldn't have said it. And now, a lot of it is, I'm not saying you have to, but for me, I have to, because I feel I need to. You know, and I've had a lot of people, actually, I will say, I've had a lot of people come and tell me different things throughout the, you know, saying, I'm sorry because I was judgmental towards something. I said, well, I didn't even know it. You know, I didn't take it that way. But, you know, a lot of times that we're judgmental toward people that they might not know it, but we are. For whatever reason, we might be jealous or we might be mad or we don't understand. You understand, we don't always have all the facts. And just because someone says it so doesn't make it so. You know, gossip is huge in churches. And, you know, and gossip is only one side of the story. You know, because usually gossip might not be any side of the story, but usually the original source was only one side of the thing. There's always two sides. So actually, there's more than two sides. There's usually three. You know, there's his side, her side, and the right side. And nobody ever hears both sides, you know. And really, you know, we run off with half-truths. And you know, if someone said, well, yeah, but I read this interview in the newspaper. Man, I've been interviewed in the newspaper, and they get everything wrong. And, you know, my situation, it wasn't a big deal. They were interviewing about, you know, one of our meetings or whatever. And, you know, it's people get it all wrong. You know, they get facts not straight or things like that. Now, my situation, it didn't mean a whole lot, but a lot of people's situation, it does, because, because the way it came out in the interview or whatever, it didn't come out as good as it should have, and it could make you not seem real right or real good. Especially, one thing that's really hard too, you know, especially for a lot of people, if you're ever doing a live interview and people are just throwing questions out, you know, and you have to answer things on the fly, because maybe if you had that question, you know, after you thought about it, maybe you'd answer it differently. But, you know, people judge you based upon the way you answered at the time, and it might not have been really the best answer you could have given. And that's why most of the time, a lot of folks, you know, they won't even do an interview unless they have the questions ahead of time, so they know what's going to be asked of them, you know, because they're not really good about either thinking on their feet or and I found that, you know what, if you avoid a question, then people always think, well, you know, they actually assume what you might have said because you didn't say it. And I know the one hot topic, I asked, and actually this interview didn't happen. There was a certain newspaper that wanted to do a certain interview on me, and it wasn't a Christian paper. It was actually they do more stuff about entertainment, arts and entertainment, for whatever reason. This guy was pushing for a story for me, for, you know, or whatever, and more concerned with Christmas lights and different things. And I said, at the time that was right, you know, when the Supreme Court had the ruling about same-sex marriages and stuff. And so I asked, I said, well, because this guy wasn't a writer, he just worked for the paper. And I said, well, do you think that asked me a question? He goes, well, would you want questions ahead of time? I said, well, I'm okay, you know, on the fly, but you think he's going to ask me questions about the, you know, same-sex marriage? And he said, well, probably. Well, I said, I'd want to know that because I want to make sure I kind of come, you know, think about that and think about the audience is going to read that, because they're trying to, you know, answer it in such a way that I don't seem like I'm hypocritical, or also in such a way that I'm condemning toward people. So, you know, it's a hard question to answer sometimes. You know, just because you believe one way doesn't mean that you should say everything how you believe it. And you know, I mean, it's okay to believe the way you believe, but it's also sometimes we should not try to condemn everybody, because ultimately, Jesus loves us no matter how we're living our life. Now, maybe your life isn't the way he loves, but he still loves you anyhow. And the fact I always think about this is, you know, if I condemn somebody or somebody's lifestyle or something, you know, to the point that makes them mad, then they're probably never going to get saved. Do you realize that? I mean, if we condemn somebody, the way we say things, and because they're going to think every Christian is just like me. In fact, one time I actually wanted to tell some Rhema students to quit witnessing one time. Because there was a group of individuals that I was talking to on a regular basis. And then, unfortunately, some Rhema students came and witnessed to them, and they didn't want to talk to me anymore. You know, because I hadn't got to the point where we're going to witness yet. I'm just trying to be a friend to them. Just trying to talk with them about these guys would hang out and, in their cars and things like that, and they were all about, so we talk about cars and we talk about stuff, you know, because see, I try to let them bring it to religion, but these guys basically came and told them they're all going to hell, and, you know, it was all, you know, I understand, you know, and their own, I understand why they were doing, but the way they did it, they actually messed up things, you know, that I was forming a relationship with somebody, because people don't care what you really know until they know you care about them. And it was, you know, it really messed me up, and it made me upset, actually. And actually, I told somebody, one of them, how, what I thought about it. They didn't like it a whole lot, but it's okay. You know, because, you know, sometimes the way we say things, you know, you understand that this is someone's life that's in your hand, really. Ultimately, you know, if you turn somebody off on the idea of Christianity, then they might not ever get saved. In fact, 90% of people who do get saved do it before 18. So after they've turned 18 and they've never been saved, then their chances are really small anyway. And for you to mess it up, you know, I think, you know, and I believe that's not a good thing. I mean, you know, I think God will hold us accountable for that. I mean, because there's, you know, they're saying the right thing and saying things right. And you know, I always think about that. In fact, you know, one of our teachers made this statement one time when it turned out to, we're talking about our students, and we're talking about it. Sometimes some of our students do things that we believe that maybe they shouldn't graduate right now. Maybe they don't go along with some of the things the school preaches and teaches. And so, you know, but he said, you know what, we need to make it in such a way that, first of all, knowing that you know what, they can make things right and come back. And even if they don't, if they never come back and go to Rhema, that you know, if we do it in such a way that, you know, if in life later on that God blesses them or whatever, that they want to still support the ministry, because ultimately, you know, that, you know, we need support. And, you know, sometimes if we kick somebody out and do it in such a way they're all mad, then all they're going to do is be mad at us, and they're going to try to make everybody else mad at us as well. You know, just because you go to a place and you don't like their food, you know, then a lot of times you discourage everybody else from going there as well. You know, but a lot of times we should give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, here's the deal. You weren't there. You weren't married to that person's wife or that person's husband. You don't know. You weren't there. You don't know what really went on. The main thing you can do is pray for that person. You know, pray for them. You know, and when it comes to political situations, you know, basically every candidate there has probably said something they probably shouldn't have. Because if you say enough stuff, you're going to say something you shouldn't have. You know, I started thinking about this whenever I was thinking about about changing. You know, early in my ministry, and I didn't do it as bad because I, you know, kind of had good teachers. But I remember that I preached one place and it was a really good service, and you know, people really got blessed. But theologically, I didn't say things correctly. Now, my heart was right, but theologically, I'll give you the illustration. What I talked about, we had a service that we're breaking curses over our life. Well, you know, and some of you probably been in services like that because that's a good denominational service. But the point is, that's not really good because the curse has already been broken. Jesus broke the curse. I was talking about, you know, some of you in your life, you maybe in your family, that cancer runs in your family or heart disease runs in your family, and talking about taking authority over that. But, you know, but my point was, I said we need to break that curse, but we don't need to break the curse. The curse has already been broken. We need to thank God that the curse has already been broken instead of breaking it again. You know, Jesus already died on the cross. And so theologically, I wasn't right, all right? But, you know, if you were to say, well, 20 years later, well, I got a tape. Craig preached that. He believes that. I mean, that's how he believes. He believes, you know, then you would be wrong because I don't believe it that way. I just was misinformed, or I just didn't think about it, or just stupid, or you know, I, basically, you know, you preach more doctrinal things than theologically correct stuff or whatever. But my heart was right because the point is that you're not under the curse. That you know, that if heart disease, but if heart disease runs in your family, you should take authority over it before you get heart disease. You know, I know my mom's really good about, and she said this before, that every day she claims that cancer cannot live in her body. Well, it's interesting because in her family, cancer hasn't really ran in her family. It hasn't really been something that, you know, but the thing about it is, it's what we normally wait till we get sick before we claim our healing. In fact, you know, whenever people are getting the flu and things like that, we don't usually speak against the flu until we get the flu, which is, you know, we don't have to wait till we have something to get rid of it. We can get rid of it before we actually have it. You know, but a lot of times it's the way we think. It's the way we think. One more thing, I want to read from the Message Bible these verses because it's interesting. I like it the way it says the Message Bible. It says this: don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge in your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, "Let me wash your face for you," when your own face is distorted by contempt? Is the whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just live your part? Wipe the ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. You know, I think that's really, really interesting because so many times, you know, I've even heard people say, "Well, I'm not trying to criticize this person, but..." Anyone else heard someone say that? You know, so I'm not trying to be critical, but did you hear what this person did? Did you, you know, I guess it's just a lot of things, you know, we learn by the Bible, a lot of things we learn, you know, by our mentors. And you know, my own grandfather, I watched him. He wouldn't criticize people. He never did. In fact, my own grandmother, I've been there when he said, "Well, honey, why won't you just say what you really believe?" And here's what he said: "Well, maybe they've changed. Maybe they've changed. You know, maybe they're not like that anymore." In fact, I had a situation where I didn't want to do this. We had a minister friend that I didn't really know real well. He was, you know, a lot older than me. In fact, him and my grandfather, which happens to be my mom's dad, Brother Tipton, they were really good friends. In fact, they would go hunting together and different things. And he was a pastor in Kansas, and he was going to hire, actually when he hired him, he was his youth minister, later on became an associate pastor. And so the guy that he was looking to hire was a Rhema graduate. So he called my dad, wanted to know if my dad knew anything about him, because this guy worked for the ministry as well at one point in time. Well, it just turned out that this is, I've only fired about three people, and this was one of them. All right. Now, we've had some people get fired, but I didn't fire them. You know, I said it was okay to fire them, but I personally fired this guy, you know, about 4 or 5 years before this phone call. And so my dad goes, "Hey, can you come here and talk on the phone? Can he wants a recommendation, and you know, I know we fired him. Can you talk to him?" I said, I don't want to speak, you know, say anything bad about him. You know, I don't want to, you know. And so he goes, dad goes, "But no, you need to, you talk." And I told the pastor, I said, "You know, I'm hoping that the guy's changed, but you know, there was a situation that happened, and I kind of related, and it was just, the guy just wouldn't want to submit to authority and what was being told, and we had to let him go, and, you know, and it wasn't really, you know, there's times we let people go because everyone knows we let go, and there's sometimes this wasn't a good one, and, you know, but thank God that because I would have felt bad if Pastor hired him, and everything really worked. Like I said, he was a first started out youth minister, but became associate pastor, and now this guy's pastoring a Rhema church in Iowa now. You know, and one day he told me, because he goes, "Craig, thank you for firing me. Best thing you ever happened in my life." Because, you know, I really was, I struggled with some things. And you, because you fired me, it really helped me get over some of the things that, you know, because, you know, he just, His whole thing is he wanted to be right, and whenever he thought somebody else was wrong, he was like, I'm not going to do it. Because, you know, he basically what comes out is he wouldn't do something that my mom and myself asked him to do because he didn't think he should do it for whatever reason. And he, so instead of doing it, he wrote me a note why he shouldn't do it. And so I called him in the office and fired him. So he didn't have to do it anymore. So anyway, but you know, the thing about it is just because someone made a mistake, you don't want to hold that over them forever. And you know, I had another situation, kind of similar situation, where we didn't fire this one guy. He actually stayed working for us for a while. But I had an individual that worked for us, and he just had an attitude issue. And in fact, here's the deal. And at our ministry, my grandmother really didn't really talk to too many people about she wasn't really involved in dating, but my grandmother actually talked to him about his attitude issue. That's how this guy traveled on the road with us. And so, you know, great guy, great singer, great musician, but he had some attitude issues that sometimes, you know, and if you ask him, he would tell you that sometimes I get real moody. I get an attitude toward things and I just don't want to do things or whatever. So basically I told Dr. this pastor about, I said, man, I mean, he's great. I mean, he'll, he's awesome, you know, as far as music comes, but he has an attitude sometimes that you know, that needs to be dealt with. And hopefully he's grown up and hopefully, you know, he's got over it, but he didn't get hired. So I don't know if I'm the one that made him not get hired, you know, but I kind of felt bad, but I was just being honest. I wasn't trying to be critical of the person, but I, you know, in that situation, and I don't like to be put in that situation where I have to, you know, say something about someone because I don't want to be negative. But I always said, you know, I want to give someone the benefit of the doubt. They probably changed, you know. And like I said, this guy, the one guy I fired, he told me, said, it was because you fired me that I changed the way I did. Now, maybe that's a problem. I didn't fire the other guy. I talked about his attitude, and I basically told him, I said, you know, if you just don't want to do it anymore, then maybe it's time for you to go on. And he actually worked for about another year, and he decided, you know what, it's time for me to go on, because he was having some attitudes. And that's okay. It's okay, too. But, you know, we shouldn't be so critical toward people. And, you know, I found that most of the time when people are critical, they're never critical toward people's face, which is interesting. You know, if you're going to be critical, just flat out tell them to their face. I believe if you want to be critical to somebody, just, you know, I use the word man up, but if you happen to be female, maybe female up or whatever you're going to do, you know, and if you want to be critical, at least say it to their face. Don't put it out on social media, you know, or whatever. Just flat out tell them, you know. You know, I'm not saying it's the best way, but I'm if you're going to be critical, you might as well do it to someone's face. Don't be, because I found out people are critical, but then when you ask them, oh no, I don't have an issue at all. You know, and that's being a hypocrite, you know, but man, you got better things to do than talk about people, you know, and that's one thing too. I think Christians are a lot of times we're more concerned about talking about people than they aren't going out and getting the lost saved, going out and changing people's lives, you know. And sometimes we all do it with gossip. Well, I'm not trying to gossip, but I'm trying to talk bad about someone. But you know, whenever you say the word "but," a lot of times there's what follows it is not always a good thing. And I just think that we need to think more before we say things, especially in the world that we live in with social media, because you know. Nowadays, people who didn't really have a voice before can have a voice because someone shares this and someone shares that, and pretty soon, I mean, you know, we've seen internet sensations because somebody, you know, had their cat playing a piano or whatever and videoed it, and then you know, before long, you know, 2 trillion people watched it. You know, not 2 trillion, but you know, all these people are, you know, millions of people watch because you have a piano playing cat. You know, so. You know, people can make statements or whatever, and it gets shared over and over and over again. And in fact, I don't know, I mean, maybe some of you aren't really in the social media, but the other day, some guy couldn't add. And so he was, you know, using the lotto thing, and, you know, saying that, you know, everyone would have like, you know, $1.2 million or whatever it would be. And he actually turned out that it would be everyone in America would have $1.32 or something like that. It was completely, his math was bad. But you know how many, I mean, people shared it over and over again because they can't add either. And so, you know, so be careful what we share sometimes. You know, whenever you're sharing things, because just, and you know, and I found that out too when it comes down to, my grandfather said this one time, because I was talking about a certain thing and a certain message an individual preached about, you know, about prosperity. And you know, when you first heard it the first time, it sounded good. But then when I started studying, I'm like, I don't know if this is right. And I talked to my grandfather. And he said, you know, a lot of times what happens is we don't think about it when we first hear it. And we just take it because someone we respected preached it, it must be right. You know, but just because somebody said it doesn't mean it is right. He said also when it comes to a lot of ministers is that once they've preached one message and it went over real, real well or had a book that went over, they're looking for the next big thing. And he said a lot of times too, when you're looking for the next big thing or the next, that if you go to the Old Testament for doctrine, a lot of times it's not right. And so he's really, you know, be careful about going to the Old Testament to you know, for doctrine. Now, that's why my grandfather always said that he will not preach on anything unless he has at least three scriptures to back it up. And he says, if you only have three, two of them need to be from the New Testament. In fact, we've actually had discussions about some things, and he said, "Craig, I won't preach this because I don't have enough scripture to back it up, but you don't have enough scripture to come against it either." Now, I won't stand up here and preach it because I don't, you know, I'll tell you, but I won't preach it because, you know, I believe that I need to have more scripture, and you know, and so it's interesting, you know, how, because most people, if they had, they would have preached it, you know, because, you know. He goes, I believe it's right, but that doesn't mean it is, you know. So, but he was very careful on not ever of not preaching something that he didn't believe that, you know, that he didn't have enough scripture to back up. And I am, you know, I think about that. I mean, you know, but I always think about, you know, things that I say or things that I do, people might take that, you know, wrongly or whatever. So be careful what we say. Be careful how we say it. Be careful how we criticize, or maybe if we're not criticizing people, but if they could take it as criticism, you know, be careful. I know there's a thing called constructive criticism, and I like to have it sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I heard this one day that actually it was Tony Cook, who was one of our associates for a long time, also a teacher in the school. He says, I don't think it was him. I think it was somebody else, but he talking about an individual who had a wife that after he would preach, say, he'd always, you know, some of them would offer constructive criticism. And he finally told his wife, he says, you know, I'm fine with you doing that, but, you know, I'm going to preach on Sunday, and you can do that on Tuesday. So don't criticize me right after I say it. Wait till Tuesday because, you know, people get offended a lot of times when you say it right afterwards or whatever. So, but the thing is, don't be a critical Christian. In our own life, we need to think about, could someone take this as being critical? Because if they could take it as being critical, then don't do it. Don't say it. You know, and if you do say something that you shouldn't say, man, be quick to go out and ask for forgiveness. You know, say, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. You know, because so many times we say things we shouldn't have said. And, you know, the thing about it is I determined that I don't want to be judged. I don't want judgment. So that's why I'm one of the least judgmental persons in the world. You know, ultimately you can believe what you want to believe. That's why I told this guy on his page, you know, it's your page, believe what you want to believe, you know, and I'm not going to debate you about it. But I said, you know, I just would like you not to be so critical toward people because I found out that, like it says right here in the Message Bible, it says the critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. Man, if you're critical on one thing, you're critical on other things. And there's so many Christians that are so critical, you know. And it turns me off. And I always think about, what if I wasn't a Christian? I guess that's maybe I think differently than other people, but what if I wasn't a Christian? If I would see people's lives and see what people that I know are Christians, what they say and how they act, would I ever become a Christian? And sometimes I would think, and you know, the answer might be no. And that scares me. It scares me that you know, me as a born again spirit-filled believer that preaches the word, you know, knowing that if I was to see other Christians' lives and didn't know anything about being a Christian, would I become one? And it's just really sad that we might not, you know. And we also live in a world that there are so many people now that are actually that are rethinking the way they believe. I mean, people that I know that born again, spirit filled, and they're questioning a lot of things in the Bible. In fact, especially among the younger people, as they begin, because of the internet, because they're able to hear these people's, you know, thoughts and how, you know, be careful watching. Some things are so critical. Well, you know, did this really happen, or did this, you know, that happen, or whatever? Because ultimately, you're going to have to determine to believe it or not. And watch what you feed yourself on. And I know an individual who was watching he would because he wants to see all the stuff that's out there that's kind of critical toward Christians. He began to spend more time watching and reading and doing things that were critical than he did reading the Word himself. And he began to start asking questions himself, because you know. And I've heard many stories. And in fact, I know a gentleman who went to a Baptist seminary, and he said, you know, I actually began to change some way I believed, and it wasn't right. Because of some of the critical thinking and stuff. So we have to watch about that. And, you know, because the devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And I found that, man, among the young people, there's a lot of folks that are asking questions. Man, is it right? Is it not right? And you have to, you know, decide, what do you believe? What do you believe? And, of course, I always think it takes more faith to be an atheist anyway, because if you're wrong, you're in trouble. The thing about it is, you realize that if you believe in Christ, and if you're wrong, then you're going to have the same thing the atheist is going to have, nothing. You know, but if you're right, it's a whole lot easier. So, the thing about it is, there's no way that nothing created us. I mean, you know, it just there's no the chances of that happening are almost. I mean, you know, you it's better chance that you could have won the Powerball lotto of 1. Whatever billion dollars it was, than us coming from nothing. Because, you know, and I've heard people say, well, it was the Big Boom theory. Well, who created the Big Boom? Well, I don't know, just gas and particles and all that kind of stuff. And it's just interesting. But, you know, the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And I tell you, man, people are messing their lives up because they begin to think about things. And I know one thing my grandfather said concerning some things that he didn't understand, both in concerning people he was close to who ended up dying. And it began to bother him, because he goes, I preach healing, and these people died. And the Lord told him, there's reasons, but don't touch again in thought lives. Don't even think about it. Because if you begin to start trying to wonder and start trying to, then it's going to mess you up. You know, because, you know, a lot of times our loved ones pass on, and we kind of wonder why. I thought that they were believing differently, and it didn't happen for them. Why didn't it happen for them? Why did all the people get healed, but this person didn't get healed? And, the answer is, I don't know. You know, and I always say this, you know what? If it bugs you that bad, when you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord yourself. But I've always determined probably once you get to heaven, you won't really care. You know, it won't really matter. But, you know, don't let things bother you that bad to change the way you think. And one thing that you need to make sure is don't get a critical spirit about you. If you start criticizing others, it's going to come back. And I also found out too, it doesn't do any good to tell people not to be critical, because then they're gonna say, well, you're criticizing me for being critical. So just pray for people. When you see people that are criticizing, instead of talking about, just pray for them. Pray that the Lord will deal with them. And debating things don't really get anywhere. My grandfather used to debate everybody, but he found out that whenever they finished their debate, he never changed his mind. They never changed their mind, and we just wasted hours. We just wasted hours debating, and ultimately, I think I was right. They think they're right, and it doesn't really matter. That's why I don't want to debate people. It's not, if you don't believe the way I believe, that's fine. That's your choice. It's your choice to believe however you want to believe. It's your choice to vote who you want to vote for. I mean, it's not my, I'm not going to try to sway you to vote for this person or that, vote for that person. I don't care how many things I share on the internet. It's still not going to, I'm not here to sway you, because I believe that you need to make your own choice. But I just wanted you to determine today that you're going to be less critical toward people. And anytime you are critical, you need, something needs to happen, like it does happen to me. Every time I say something that could be considered critical, something on the inside of me, it bothers me. And I know it's the Holy Spirit telling me, hey, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that, but that's what we need to get to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here today. And we thank you, Father, for helping them. And Father God, help us in life, whenever we do things or say things that could be considered critical, help us to not do those things anymore. We thank you, Father, that you'll check our heart, you'll check our spirit. You thank you, Father, right now for each and every person here. And Father God, we just help them be able to live the kind of life they need to live. Help them to always exemplify Christ in their life as they live life. And we thank you, Father, for touching them. And Father God, we thank you, if anyone is here, does know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, I knew Christ, but I've kind of turned my back and walked away, but I want to publicly rededicate my life to Christ today. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I've heard you talk about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I never had that experience, and I want to tonight. If that's you, on any invitation, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. If you're here today, you want to be saved for the first time, you want to rededicate your life, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. We thank you, Father, right now, that if anyone is here that's not saved, that you'll bring laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, for ministering to them. Thank you, Father, for touching them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, before we go, let's all stand up. Does anybody need healing? Anyone here needs healing? These hands light up on them for healing. We want to minister to you. If you need healing, come down here. We want to pray for you. If I don't care if you just have a cold, I don't care if you have the flu or whatever it might be, because you know what? God doesn't want you to have the cold, have the flu or whatever. So if you need healing, come on down here. While you're doing that, we want to pray for some prayer cloths. We have one person has COPD. If you don't know what that is, that's a breathing issue. Someone else has a brain aneurysm, and we want to take authority over that. Father God, we thank you right now for the healing power of God. And we thank you, Father, as we cloth lay upon the sick, we thank you, Father, right now, that healing power shall flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We command these issues to be gone. We command this person to be able to breathe properly. We command this other person that everything in their brain, everything in their head, everything in their entire body will be normal. We thank you, Father, right now, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we thank you for everything it's done right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.